感谢主在我们交通他话语的时间。
Thank God for giving us a time to have a sharing.
我才发现这是我第一次讲到有人翻译。
Well, this is the first time that I have a translator for my message.
其实啊，每一次有这个，无论是在教会的聚会或是其他任何场合，有双语的翻译都是 不是一件容易的事情。
I know that every time we have a gathering, it's not very easy to have a bilingual translation messages.
假如这个传道人讲了一个笑话呢，你就会看见一半的人先笑了，一半的人还不知道发生了什么事。
When the preacher tells a joke, maybe half of people laugh first, and then the rest followed up.
我记得以前有一个老外其实是美国人，在台湾的时候还讲过这么一句话。他在台湾看这个好莱坞的电影呢，最痛苦。
So I have an acquaintance, a foreigner actually. He told me that in Taiwan, it's actually a pain to watch the Hollywood movies.
因为台湾的电影呢，这个外语电影都有翻译。
Because in Taiwan, the foreign movies usually have the subtitles.
所以那个男女主角讲的笑话呢，这个台湾的观众已经看到字幕已经先笑了。等到他们笑的时候呢，这个真正听得懂英文的人，那个台词已经被笑声盖过，所以他们根本不知道发生了什么。
So actually, when the messages when the jokes were told, actually the Taiwanese people laughed first because watching the subtitles. But then the laughter is so loud and overwhelming the message, and the other foreigners wouldn't understand the joke.
所以，请弟兄姐妹多多包涵，也为我们祷告。
So brother and sister, please pray for us.
如果有台心在我旁边，我
就会很难过。I'm a little relieved because I.
因为他的名字叫索菲亚。
对
啊，这个是从智慧来的，所以跟我们今天讲的题目也有关系。好，那我们一起低头祷告。那我们感谢你，要把你的话语再摆在我们当中。你的话苏醒我们的灵魂，你的话更新我们的灵魂。
Your words revive us and renew our spirit.
我们谢谢你，让我们有奉你爱子名聚集的时间。
Dear Lord, we thank for this time that we can gather together in your beloved Son's name, Jesus Christ.
我们也求主的圣灵在我们当中工作。
May your Holy Spirit work among us.
这样子祷告，祈求奉主耶稣基督的名。
We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
好，我们今天来看圣经当中这一段的经文。讲到管家的事情。
We're looking at the message of the scripture, talking about the steward in Matthew 24.
这同样的经文呢，在路加福音12章41到46节也出现。
This message also appeared in Luke, the gospel according to Luke, chapter 12.
那如果你把这两个经文对照来看，再加上这两处的上下文，那神要说的话就蛮清楚。
If you compare the two passages, consider the context of the passages, you are pretty clear of God's words and message.
大家都晓得最近这个经济不好已经好多年，很多人失业了。
We know that we have had this recession for many years and a lot of people lose their job.
那所以今天我来帮神呢登一个真人启示。
So today I put an advertisement, job advertisement for God.
那找什么人呢
？What is he looking for？
这工作的这个职位是什么呢
？What's the title and position of the position？
那这个真人启示如下啊。
So this is the advertisement.
这个头衔是管家。
The title is steward.
老板是神。
The boss is a God, a heavenly father.
找的人条件是有见识、有忠心。
The requirements are.Faithful and wise.
工作内容呢，管理家务，按时分粮。
So the content of the responsibilities are take care of the family chores and give people food accordingly.
赏赐是将来管理一切他所有。
The reward is in the future. He's going to take care of what God dedicated to him.
名额不限。
There's no limitation on people to be hired.
不受经济不景气影响。
Will not be influenced, sabotaged by the recession economic situation.
So this is what we're
going to
do. 真人启示.
So this is the advertisement we put out.
所以我们来看看这一则真人启示。
Let's look carefully at this advertisement.
第一，我们先来谈谈神为什么要找管家。他如果是全能的神，需要有人来替他管理吗？
So the first question is, let's consider why the Heavenly Father wants to hire people to be a steward of his household. Since he's the sovereign Lord, does he need anyone to help him?
因为圣经告诉我们，神有千千万万的使者，所以是不是天使还不够多，还需要我们来帮忙？
Because according to scriptures,the Heavenly Father has thousands of ministers in spirit, angels. So does he still need our help?
所以他要找管家呢，跟他永远的旨意有关系。
Actually, the reason why he wants to find, to hire, to look for a steward is really aligned in his eternal purpose.
因为今天我们讲到福音的时候呢，很多时候我们提到说福音就是使得罪人免下地狱。免去神的审判，将来可以上天堂。
Well, the common understanding of gospel message, the message of gospel is that people, the sinners, would be forgiven away from the torment of the hell and into the eternal life in heaven.
但圣经讲到神永远的旨意的时候呢，他其实说的比我刚才所讲的更多。
But when the Bible talks about eternal message, eternal purpose of God, it has a much richer and abundant content.
如果你打开以弗所书第一章，
If you open the Ephesians, the chapter 1,
在以弗所书第一章三到十四节的时候呢，为我们讲到了神永远的旨意。
Well, chapter 1, verse 3 to 14 really talks about the eternal purpose of God.
你看见他在那边提到了耶稣，神在创世以前有个旨意，然后呢这个旨意借着耶稣基督呢成就，然后呢他要照着他恩典的荣耀呢，在日期满足的时候，使天上地下一切都在基督里同归于一。
According to this message, God has eternal purpose even before the creation of the world, and this purpose really are realized by the salvation through Jesus Christ. And in the future, the God will bring through Jesus Christ, God will bring all things in heaven on earth together under one head.
那你如果再加上诗篇第八篇的第五节呢？
If you add the Psalm 8 and the verse 5,
他那里说到你叫他，这个他指的是人，以天使微小一点，并赐他荣耀尊贵为冠冕。
The message in large is, you give him's name a status a little lower than the angels.And give him the crown and the glory.
那在以弗所书那里讲到，神创世以前有旨意、有安排，将来要在耶稣基督里成为一。在诗篇第八篇第五节告诉我们说，人要得荣耀尊贵为冠冕。但是现在这个事情还没有发生，可见这个事情是成就在将来。
Okay. According to these two bad messages, that God has a purpose, that through Jesus Christ, everything.Under heaven and on earth will be under one head, Christ. And then according to Psalm 8, that people will be given the crown of glory. This has not been achieved now, so must realize in the future.
所以简单的读两处经文呢，我想神永远的旨意很清楚，他就是要使人同享他的爱，同得他的荣耀。
So the eternal message of eternal purpose of God is very clear from these two messages, that he wants people.To share in His love and glory.
他所造的一切曾经被罪所玷污，但等到一切都在基督里同归于一的时候，有一批人要与他同享他的爱，同享他的荣耀。
His creation has been marred by sins, but in Christ Jesus, the people, a portion of the people that He has elected, will share in His love and glory in the future.
那么这批人就是我今天要讲的重点，这些管家们。
And these people is the subject I'm talking about today, the stewards of God's household.
那如果你再简单看两本书，这个就更清楚了。第一个是创世纪，第二个是启示录。
If you look at briefly at two books, one is the first Genesis and the second last Revelation, And this purpose is even more clearer.
创世纪第一章二十六节，我想大家都很熟悉这一节经文。他那里说到，神说我们要照我们的形象，按着我们的样式造人，使他们管理海里的鱼、空中的鸟、地上的牲畜和全地并地上所爬的一切昆虫。
According to the message in the Genesis that God said, God made man in His image and gave them the stewardship over the creation.
但是我们看这个事情呢，现在也还没有发生。他叫我们管理鱼、空中的鸟、牲畜，但是我们现在连一只蚊子都对付不了。
But now we can see that this purpose has not been realized fully. We are not a good steward of the creation.
所以呢，可见这个事也是发生在将来。
You can see that this one will fully realized in the future as well.
所以创世纪呢，从园子开始，所以神造了伊甸园呢，把亚当摆在里面，他说叫亚当呢修理看守。
The Genesis starts with the garden of Eden. The garden of Eden. Garden of Eden, and then the God really assigned the task to Adam to take care of the garden.
到了启示录呢，你就看见从园子变成一座城，从天而降，就是我们知道的新耶路撒冷。
And in the Revelation, the Garden of Eden turns into a new city, the glorious Jerusalem from heaven.
那到启示录，当然一切都显明了。从原子开始结束在城，城代表神的国度，在城中呢有人与他一同作王掌权。
So from the garden into the city of God, and in this city people will reign with God together.
这就是为什么在旧约里面呢，这国度的信息是隐藏的，在新约里面几乎成了一个主轴。
That's the reason why in the Old Testament the kingdom is still a hidden subject.But it has been fully revealed in the New Testament.
好，假如我们知道神为什么要来找管家呢？我们来看看那管家是什么。
Let's look at the definition of steward.
那在马太福音呢，这个管家他的原文的意思是仆人。
According to the message of Matthew, the steward actually in the original language is a faithful servant.
Slave.
A slave, I'm sorry.
Servant. 那这个简单来讲，也可以说是奴隶，因为它的原文的字是奴隶。那么奴隶这个字呢，它隐含了什么的意义呢
？Well, the slave, the original meaning of slave, what does it really encompass?
所以很简单来，从三方面来讲，我们来看这个仆人所隐含的意义。
Let's look at the meaning of the slave from three aspects.
是第一，他不能逾越主人所交付的权限。
First of all, he has a limitation of his authority. He cannot supersede his master.
第二呢，他必须要明白主人的心意。
Secondly, he has to understand his master's heart, his purpose.
第三呢，他要执行并达成主人的托付。
And he has to really carry on and achieve what master has assigned.
从仆人的这个字面来解释呢，强调的是忠心。
So on the surface of this of the meaning of a slave, emphasis is on faithfulness.
所以你可以知道，使徒们常常自称说我是基督耶稣的仆人，甚至他们还加上一个英文字叫做 bond servant， 就是这个不自由的这个仆人。
So you can understand why the apostles usually call themselves the bond servants of Christ, actually, no, without freedom from this master.
因为他从这个使徒们从这样子的自称，他就在提醒自己，我必须是一个忠心的人，向着主有忠心。
So by calling them bond servants, they remind themselves that they must be faithful to the Lord.
这个字呢，到了路加福音呢，它换了一个字。
And this word turned into something else in the Gospel of Luke.
这个字呢，到路加福音呢，它变成经理人的意思。
Well, in the Gospel of Luke, this word turns into a steward, a manager.
那么，如果从经理人的角度来看呢，也有三个方面。
From the meaning of manager or steward, there are also three aspects of it.
第一呢，他要看守主人的资产，这个资产不是他的。
First of all, he has to take care of the master's property.
那么再来呢，作为一个经理的人呢，你要时时预备能够交代。
And secondly, he has to be ready every minute of time to report, to account for this master, to the master.
然后呢，你要确保你的主人得益处。
Third is, he has to make sure that his master definitely will benefit.
所以从这三方面来看呢，讲到经理人呢，他强调的是见识。
So the emphasis on the steward is wisdom.
所以这里你就晓得为什么主寻找的管家呢，他要忠心又要有见识。
From all these we know that why the Lord is looking for wise and faithful servants.
一个有忠心的人呢，他知道他的命令是从谁领受的。
A faithful servant knows that what his calling is from.
因为他知道他自己不是主人呢，所以他必须要寻求主人的心意。
Since he's not the master himself, he has to seek the will of the master.
那他还有一个义务呢，他要达成主人所交付的事情。
And he has responsibility that to really finish, fulfill his master's will.
如果他是一个经理人呢，他知道这个财产不是他的，他不可以滥用。
Secondly, if he's a steward, he knows that the property is not his to be spent upon, to be wasted.
我们今天每个人把我们的钱存在银行里，这个银行就是你的经理人。
So today we really save our money in the bank, and the bank is actually our acting as our steward.
那我想我们有些弟兄姐妹啊，都会用所谓的 online banking， 就是能线上查账。
And brothers and sisters usually use online banking for convenience.
如果你今天上网查账没有账，明天上网查账也没有账，一个月查以后还没有账，你不会把钱摆在这种银行里。
If you check once in a while and regularly that your money is gone, you will never trust the money, trust the bank with your money.
所以作为一个经理的人呢，他要时时预备，他的主人询问他，他就要告诉他现在什么事情到了什么时候。
So being a steward, he has to be ready to answer to the master that what the status of taking.
然后呢，他要确定这个主人交给他的资产能得利。
He has to make sure that the property that is best to him can benefit, can increase.
如果你今天投资股票，有一家公司年年亏损，你老本都赔进去，你下次不会再投资这家公司。
If one investment bank will always make you lose your money, even your the principal, you will definitely not trust them with your money for investment.
所以这样的人呢，他必须要有见识，知道怎么样来调度管理神的资产。
So the steward has to have wisdom to know how to manage the property of the master.
那所以弟兄姐妹，你知道如果对一个管家有这样两方面的要求，这个管家重不重要
？So you can see the two requirements, faithfulness and wisdom. You can understand how important the steward is.
我第一次接触到这个管家的重要，是我出来第一个工作。那在美国第一工作呢，是1994年的时候，我的印象非常深刻。
Well, the first time I really get taste of the importance of a stewardship is when I first worked in the United States in 1994.
我第一个工作6个月之内呢，换了8个老板。
Well, within a half year of my working, I have changed like 8 bosses.
不是我换工作，是在那个工作上8个经理走人。
It's not that I changed because that position has been really a changing from person to person.
那如果你在工作上曾经经过老板的变动，你就知道每一次换一个老板呢，就是新官上任3把火，从头来起。
You know that every time a position has changed a new person, and this new person would launch this enthusiastic taking of this position.
那我就这给我一个很深的感触，就是说一个坐在管理位置上的人呢，他的稳定，他的见识，他的忠心是多么的重要。
I came to understand that how important that the stability, the wisdom, and the faithfulness of this manager for this that position.
小到一个工作，一个家庭。
From you know small things from a family, from a job.
大到一个国家的领袖，这个所谓的管家或是经理或是仆人，都占了一个非常重要的。 在圣经里面看见 face or 就是中心这个字呢、它有两个翻法，一个就是中心。
Well, there are two translations for face or faithful. One translation is faithful.
另外一个呢叫信实。
Very different in Chinese, but actually the same word in English. Very subtle meaning.
或者信实在英文也可以讲是 trustworthy.
Trustworthy.
那么讲到中心的时候呢，这个字是用在仆人的身上。
When we talk about being faithful, it's actually used for the servant slave.
这个隐含的意义呢，就是说你要听而遵从。
The hidden message is that you have to listen and obey.
Listen.那么讲到信实呢，通常用在神的身上。
And trustworthy is usually used on God.
所以在圣经里面，你看见有信实忠心的仆人，有信实的主，但是两个字其实是一样。
We have this faithful servant and trustworthy God. Actually, they use the same word.
用在神身上是什么意思呢？
What does it mean when being used on God?
它的意思是应许并成就。
His meaning is a promise and fulfillment of promise.
所以这个字呢，它有两面的意思。一方面讲到仆人的时候，他的角色呢，他就是听而且遵从。
So this word is like the two sides of the coin. Talking about a servant means listen and obey and follow.
从仆人的角度来说呢，也就是我们今天的重点，你忠心的结果是什么？
According to the servant, what is the result of his being faithful?
你忠心的结果就是赢得主人的信任。
So the result is he gained the trust and confidence of his master.
所以我们当中工作的弟兄姐妹呢，你知道我讲的是什么？
And people working here, brothers and sisters, you understand what I mean.
如果你想赢得你老板的信任，圣经告诉我们，你只有一个方法。
In order to gain the trust and confidence of your master, of your boss, you have to be faithful.
他说的话你听。
You gotta listen to what he says.
他叫你做的事你要做。
You gotta do what he tells you to do.
久而久之呢，你就赢得他的信任。
By and by, you'll gain his trust and confidence.
那当然，这个我们不包括，如果老板叫你诈欺犯罪，这个不在我们今天讲的范围。
Of course, we don't talk about the illegal and the crime that have been asked of us to do.
那特别是我们中国人非常聪明。
We Chinese are clever people.
很多时候我们觉得我们比我们的老板专业技术强，比他懂，比他聪明，比他能干。
Most of the time, some people think that they are smarter than their bosses, more competent.
所以这个听呢，对我们造成一个障碍。
And this listening, then we have a barrier to listening to what he says.
但是我想很多人不懂这件事情。一个做老板的人，他的责任是负责。
But most people actually fail to understand. Being the manager or boss, his responsibility is to manage, to take care of, to take responsibility.
所以你不听，他怎么负责呢？
If you don't listen, how can he?How can he take responsibility?
如果你听，他就能负责。
If you listen and follow, he can take responsibility.
听是你的工作，负责任是他的工作。
So listen is your job, and taking responsibility is your boss job.
因为做主人的呢，他总有一些难办的事情，他要找能信任的人去办。
Well, a master usually have difficult tasks he wants to.Find the trustworthy person to do.
如果你问我这边有两个人，一个人很能干，但常常不听我的话；这个人呢不是那么能干，他很听我的话。有难办的事情，我绝对叫这个听我的话人。
If there are two people in front of me, one is super clever but never listens, the other is not as clever but listens and follows, I will choose the one that who is more faithful.
如果我们不了解这种主从的关系呢，我们以为事情办成了就得了。
If you don't understand the responsibility of listening and taking responsibility, then we will just think that, do the things and that's it.
所以你不听，你把事情办成了，但是你害你的老板呢，没有 做好他的负责任的工作。
If you don't listen, even if you finish a task, you might、prevent your boss from taking his responsibility.
所以，如果我们弟兄姐妹你在工作上有难处，你觉得你很认真干，老板总是对你不满意，想一想你是不是有听的问题。
If you're a person who is really hardworking, but not usually, but somehow you're not pleased the master, maybe examine yourself on this aspect, whether I'm faithful in this regard.
如果你要赢得你老板的信任，唯一的方法呢，就是
If you want to gain the confidence and trust of your boss, the only way is to be faithful.
我知道外面有很多书教你how to。如何改善跟老板的关系，但是圣经给我们的就是 faithful.
And I teach you different ways to please your boss and to improve the relationship with him. And one way is to be faithful.
你看扫罗，
Look at Saul.
他长得比别人高，
比较 more elegant and taller than other people.
非常的俊美。
众
人都爱他，
and, gain favor of all people.
神拣选他做以色列的王，
and, the Lord chose him to be the first king of Israel.
但他这一生的评语呢，神说这个人是一个不顺服的人。
But God's comment and assessment of him is he's not a faithful person.
神没办法用他，
But God cannot use him.
他有能力，
even though he has ability, competence,
他有所谓的charisma 可以吸引众人。
He has the charisma of leadership to attract people.
但是你看他所做的事情，没有一样蒙神的。
What he did is not pleasing to him.
那你要转比现在世界所谓各国的，可以发现很多这样。
Compare the leaders from the world. You can find many examples of this. Let's look at what wisdom is.
戒指呢？有些翻译。圣经翻成 sensible， 有些翻成 prudent。
So actually translation can be prudence, sensibility, or wisdom。
有些翻成 wise。那么不管可能会有非常密切的关系。
Regardless of the shades of meaning, it has, it is closer connected to wisdom。
那么很简单，我们中国人对了解见识这个事情没有太多的困难。见识这个字是我们、日常生活常用的字。
We have no, we Chinese have no difficulty in understanding wisdom, prudence, and sensibility.
那么见识呢，跟这个智慧的连结，这个智慧，圣经讲到智慧呢，就是讲到从神来属天的智慧。
What the Bible calls wisdom actually is pure wisdom, the heavenly wisdom that belongs to God.
圣经也有讲到属地属鬼魔的、智慧。所以就我自己读经的、领会呢，智慧的见识呢，它做两件事情。
My understanding of this the wisdom of stewardship has two things.
第一，它要以神所赐的智慧来分辨。
First of all, he has to use the wisdom from God to discern.
分辨什么是从神来的，什么是从情欲来的，从鬼魔来的，属地的。
To discern what comes from the heaven, from the Lord, what comes from the earthly passions and the devil.
第二，以神所赐的智慧呢，决断。
Second, to choose to do things, to decide according to wisdom given by God.
那么见识呢是长在中心上面，这就是这两个字的关系。
What is wisdom really is grounded on faithfulness, that's the connection between these two.
因为一个忠心的人他留意听。
Is a faithful person really inclines to listen.
一个听的人呢他就能学。
And a person who listens can learn.
一个能学的人呢他就长见识。
A person who truly learns can really increase in his
就这么简单。
As simple as that.
我知道我们当中年轻人在这个所谓的 teenager 的时候呢，听对你们来说是一个很大的难处。
I understand the useful among us, listening can be a very difficult task.
假如你今天听不进去我这句话，请你背这句话。
If you cannot really truly listen to what I say, but just recite it, put into your memory.
见识呢是从忠心来的。
Wisdom comes from being faithful.
忠心的人能听。
A faithful person can truly listen.
听的人能学。
A listening person can truly learn.
学的人长见识。
Person who truly learns can really increase his wisdom.
我们拿尼希米做个比喻。
Let's take Nehemiah, as an example. Nehemiah, as an example.
我们弟兄姐妹不晓得熟不熟悉尼希米这个人物啊。
I don't know whether you are familiar with Nehemiah.
尼希米是个什么样的人呢？
Let me talk about what this person is.
尼希米是个酒镇。
Nehemiah is actually a cupbearer.
那弟兄姐妹知道什么叫酒镇
？A cupbearer means
这个酒镇其实是太监的一种。
Actually, is a kind of eunuch.
他是站在王的旁边呢，把酒倒在杯子里面，他自己要先喝一口，证明没有毒，然后递杯子给这个王的人。
There's actually a kind of eunuch working in a court, but he has to taste the wine before he handed wine to the king.
那你知道，无论是中国的王、西方的王呢，都有一个共通点。
Eastern or Oriental, Occidental kings, they have one thing in common.
深信多疑。
They are very suspicious.
总觉得一天到晚有人要毒害他们。
They are prone to conspiracy that they think people are going to murder them.
那么，除非你是一个能得王信任的人，你不会在他旁边递酒给他。
Unless your person really has gained the confidence and trust of the king, you can never be a cupbearer beside the king.
尼希米第一章给我们简单讲一下，尼希米这个人是个酒镇，后来听见耶路撒冷的城墙倒塌，他在神面前哭泣，这个亚达薛西王呢，就派他回到耶路撒冷修筑城墙。
Okay, let's briefly talk about the first chapter of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a cupbearer of this special king of Persia king, and then he got some word from people in Israel that the walls of Jerusalem really in very bad shape, and he cried for this condition. He's trying to do something to help his people to build the wall of Jerusalem.
那你我有一段时间读着尼希米就有点困惑，我说这个太监。拿酒杯的人，他怎么知道要怎么盖城墙
？So actually, when I first read Nehemiah, I was a little puzzled. How could this cupbearer, this eunuch, in front of the king, know how to build walls around Jerusalem?
那后来我想的是这个情形，但我不敢说我是对，但我想八九不离十。第一，尼希米这个人呢是个忠心的人，所以他是常常站在王面前的人。
So I think I have some understanding.Probably to the point is that this person Nehemiah is a very faithful person, so he has to come to this king in front of the Persian king.
因为他的忠心，那王对他信任有加，所以他常常站在王的面前。
Because the king really has favor upon him, for being a faithful servant, that he can really stand in front of the king.
一个人常常站在王的面前。王的声音，看王怎么做事情，看他怎么分配，看他怎么做决定，自然而然他就有见识。
A person really stands beside the king, very often. Listen to the king. Listen to how he judges things, manage, make decisions. Just by listening, he can learn and he can become wise.
所以他的忠心呢，给了他长见识。再来，我们说到以神所赐的智慧来做决断。
Let's talk about to really make decisions according to wisdom given by God.
这个做决定是一件很重要的事情。
It's very important to make the right decision.
我想我们在工作上，在其他地方，我们都看过，分析、分析、分析了半天不做决定。
We came across the situation in our work that we
所以这个你不做决定呢，其实就是一个决定，你要把这个东西摆平，这就是一个决定。
Actually, not deciding it is actually a decision itself, the making of the choice.
但是一个 有智慧、有见识的人呢，他一定要做决定，就像所罗门一样。
Just like someone, you have to make decision regarding the difficult situation.
一个人如果不决定呢，他没办法管理。你可以想象说，那两个妓女来到所罗门的前面说，请你判断这是谁的孩子。他说啊，不关我的事，干嘛来找我？你不做决定呢，你就失去管家的位置，就这么简单。所以我们刚刚讲到中心，中心的结果呢是赢得主人的信任。那么有见识的结果怎么样？
The consequence of being faithful is gaining the confidence of the master. But what about the consequence of peace? The fruit of being wise.
有见识的人呢，他就赢得主人的称赞。
A wise person will gain praise from his master.
所以你看见在圣经里面耶稣讲到的比喻呢，对于管家呢，他要对他有信任，他要给他有信任。
So you can look at the parables that Jesus taught in the Gospels that the master will give. We will have trust for the faithful servant, and also give him praise.
所以一个人，我们当中如果有弟兄姐妹，你想要得升迁的机会的话，你除了忠心，你要加上有见识，因为见识是主人把更多的交给你的关键。
Yes, if you want to really gain promotion.In addition to being faithful, I think you have to gain wisdom. Because wisdom is the condition upon which your boss, your master, will give you more task, more difficult task.
那么这就是一个很好的训练，因为我相信呢，忠心跟见识呢，都是可以训练、都可以养的。
So this is a good discipline, a training. I believe that being faithful and being wise can be trained.
好，那最后我们来讲讲管理家务按时分粮。
Let's finally look at the taking care of the family, the household, and assigning the food accordingly.
那讲到家呢，我们有两个家可以讲。
Talking about household, we have two households to talk about.
一个是我们个人的家，我们个人的小家，我们自己的家，我的家。
First is our own personal family.
那一个是神的家。那么这个忠心跟见识用在这两个家呢都非常的重要。
And you can see that being faithful and wise can be well applied to these two families.
那么在你的家中呢，有什么事情需要你忠心呢？
What are the things in your own family that needs your faithfulness?
这个家孩子教养需要你。
Bring up children needs your faithfulness.
夫妻的关系和谐需要你忠心。
To cultivate this harmonious relationship between husband and wife needs your faithfulness.
同样，孩子的教养需要你有见识。
Simultaneously, raising children, raising children needs wisdom as well.
夫妻关系呢，也需要你有见识。
On the same note, that the harmonious relationship, marriage needs wisdom as well.
因为你得管理，你得做决定。
Because you have to make decisions, you need to manage.
那如果你把自己摆在管家，知道你的一切是从神领受的呢？你不过是代管耶和华的产业，只是讲到你的孩子。你不过是在神面前啊，担待你的妻子啊，因为你这做丈夫的是头，那你很多事情就好办。作为一个父母，你知道你的孩子在做什么吗？
As a parent, do you understand? Do you know to the children and do it.
年轻人不要心里不舒服，以为我叫你们的父母监控。
So the youthful, the youthful ones, please do not misunderstand me. I don't feel any ties.
我知道很多弟兄姐妹很辛苦啊，从国内来到这边，在一个陌生的环境建立新的家庭，所以在你的心目当中呢，改善经济是你首要的要务，很多时候你忽略了孩子。但是弟兄姐妹，我要提醒大家，圣经告诉我们说，儿女是耶和华所赐的财，所以养家的费用呢是神供
的。And it tells us that really the inheritance given by God to us, that God will provide for them.
我看到现在年轻人，我心里也担心。
I'm very concerned.
因为这个科技的东西啊，使人情变得很
多。
现在的孩子呢，因为营养的关系，再加上很早接触科技，所以都非常的聪明，都比我们的聪明。但是有一件事情他们不懂，也没人教他。
One thing they failed to understand, and nobody is there to teach them.
他们不知道怎么跟人相处。
They don't know how to really have a good relationship, how to get along with other people.
所以一个孩子呢，就是我们不要讲孩子，讲我们的下一代，他越来越聪明呢，但他越来越孤立。你想将来社会会怎么样？而我们以前要交女朋友，我们要去参加聚会。你可能要找杨玉介绍。现在呢，这孩子呢，他不需要中介人。他们有 Facebook。
They have a social network, Facebook.
我喜欢，我就 link 到他的 page。
Direct link to the page of the person I like.
我们以前要结交朋友没有那么容易，要绝交也不容易，因为绝交心里要很挣扎，每天上学要见面。现在孩子要绝交，要把他从 Facebook 屏蔽掉。
You know, we really have in our time, we really it's very difficult to start relationship and also end the relationship. But nowadays, we are used to link and cut off the link. That's
it. 因为不是我为。因为这样的环境下来呢，是极聪明，但是又极冷酷。
In this kind of environment, children very intelligent, but very cruel.
因为当他鼓励掉别人的时候，他看不见对方的感情，他看不到反应，他不需要知道，因为已经从电脑档案当中消失了。
When he calculates, he doesn't need to concern about emotion on the other side. It will just disappear from his calculator.Facebook.
甚至有些爸妈更糟糕，自己玩 Facebook， 连小孩都不会。
Some parents actually lead in this using of social network.
我前阵子看到一个新闻，说有一个妈妈迷 Facebook 到一个地步呢，狗死在那个餐厅四个礼拜，小孩两个礼拜没喂，她都。
I came across this very horrible story that a mother was addicted to the Facebook and she really failed to notice that the dog shit on the carpet for several weeks and also failed to feed the baby for 2 weeks.
另外有一个妈妈呢，放洗澡水给孩子 洗澡，然后趁这个放水的空间就去上 Facebook 看他的朋友的 update， 结果呢回去洗澡间两个小孩都淹死。
Another horrible story that the mother actually during the time that he defilled the bathtub for the children and she just wanted to see the update on the social network and when he came back, when she came back two hours and the babies actually were drowned.
这是我们现在所处社会的挑战。
This is really a challenge for society right now.
人家觉得不要忘记，这是主，你对主要忠心，他所交给你的产业你要管理，你留给你的孩子是什么样的榜样，你跟别人讲话待人接物你是用什么样的方式，你如何管理这个家，你如何打扫这个家，你的孩子都在看。
Brothers and sisters, actually, our children are really watching how we get along with people, how we speak, how we act, and how we manage the things given us to God, by God.
你随随便便呢，你的孩子也随随便便。
If you don't really take responsibilities, your children will follow that example.
你没有见识，你孩子也不会有见识。
If you fail to increase your wisdom, and your children will follow that example.
那更糟糕了，将来有一天你到神面前，这个今天不在这经文，是在这个经文的后半段，这样的恶管家还要被腰斩。
What worse is according to the gospel of Jesus Christ that these such stewards will be punished by God.
你不要想夫妻吵吵嘴没什么大不了，你的孩子都在听。
Don't take so lightly that you quarrel with your wife and husbands. Actually, your children are really listening and watching.
如果你这个做妻子呢，今天用一个恶方法让你的丈夫照着你的意思去做，将来有一天你的孩子就像对付他的配偶。
Well, if you nowadays use some evil methods to force your spouse to do something, maybe your children will learn from that.
我们这个所谓的第一代移民在美国啊，是一个挑战。
It's a really great challenge for the first generation, the immigrants.In the United States.
那你的我们是受中华文化的这个熏陶，但是你的下一代是长在一个纯西方的环境。
We were brought up in the Chinese culture. The next generation, they are brought up in the Western culture.
所以在这种环境当中呢，你必须要付加倍的努力。
So under this kind of condition, we have to take even more effort.
但是我可以跟弟兄姐妹讲，神是信实的，他们。
God is faithful and he will give you enough sufficient grace.
那这个我就不多说，我们最后来谈谈神的家中，我们如何管理家务，按时分粮，照着忠心，照着见识。
Let's lastly look at how can we carry out the task given by God.
如果你看我们今天所有引用经文的上下文呢，你会发觉很清楚，这个管家交付给他东西是特有所指。
When you look at the context of this message we're learning today, you will understand that the specific tasks are given to the steward or the servant.
在这段经文面前呢，神责备法利赛人说：“你们把道理压住了，然后呢，想要明白的人，你们又不让他们得啊，然后把神的话误解了。所以到主来的时候呢，他们每个人都被 surprise， 不知道主就要来了。”然后呢，这个罪要问在管家的身上。
In according to the context of this message, actually, Jesus Christ was condemning the Pharisees, accusing them that not to teach people what they really want and misguide them. And this really, this sin will be asked of them when the Lord comes back again.
弟兄姐妹，不要误会，我讲的管家不是指的牧师啊。
I'm not talking about a steward as being a pastor.
你作为主内的肢体呢，你在神所交托那份事情上面，你就是管家。
If you are a one member of this body of Christ, and you are a steward in the things that are given to you by God.
教会要忠心呢，一定要忠实传讲神的话。
And church has to be faithful in preaching the God's word.
指准到众人在真道上同归于一。长成基督的身量，这是以弗所书告诉我们。
According to Ephesians, that until everyone really you know, until we're united in Jesus Christ and grow into the full measure of Jesus Christ.
如果弟兄姐妹不听呢，也不要灰心，因为神已经讲得很明白，末世时候人必厌烦纯正的道理。
And don't be frustrated or discouraged that some people maybe fail to notice this words, because the God has reminded us that in the end ages, people will be tired of the God's word.
但是我们要忠心到底，神传给我们的话，我们不能不讲。
But we have to be faithful to the end.
我更不能怕，因为弟兄姐妹想听，我就把神的话套在哲学里面，讲一些人的智慧，而不是神的智慧的东西。
And I cannot do the things that to not proclaim God's word directly, but to shroud it in some kind of philosophy, in teaching about the wisdom from men.
我不能因为弟兄姐妹想听好听的话，我就掺心理学、掺哲学、掺科学，然后用神的话来印证心理学、哲学、科学。
I cannot just gain the favor of man to dilute God's message with philosophy, psychology, and other things.
因为在这个社会上，大家都在讲心理学、科学、哲学，唯有教会讲神的话。
Well, in this world, seem to be everywhere is talking about psychology, science, technology, but only in the church that God's word needs to be proclaimed directly.
在这时代，像我刚才所讲的那种情形，你只有讲神的话，你才有办法做盐做光。
In this end age, you can only be a salt and light.By proclaiming God's word directly.
因为我们要期望弟兄姐妹在外面听了一堆垃圾，他来到神家中，他是要听神的话。
Because I think the brothers and sisters might you know, you might get encountered with this kind of things, but really coming into the family, God's family, want to listen to God's word.
然后这样的忠心呢，必须要加上见识。
And add to this faithfulness wisdom.
因为每个人的情形都不一样，你要知道，这个人这个时候应该喝的是灵奶，那个人现在可以吃干粮。
Because everyone actually we grow in Christ in different ways.
一个教会里面绝对有成熟的、不成熟的基督徒，他们的需要不太一样。
And the need for mature and immature Christians are not the same.
这就需要我们这做神管家、做仆人的，能够知道他们的需要，给他们合时合宜的话。
So that really requires the stewards.Of God's family to really understand their needs and give them the words from God.
所以你如果读圣经呢，你会看见一件事情很重要，就是生命的传递。
And you look reading the Bibles, you understand one thing is the pass on of life.
这就是那些使徒们到老了，他还要讲。
That's the reason why the apostles, even when they're aging, they still need to proclaim the gospel.
在约翰一书里面呢。当这个老约翰呢，他实在是够老，听说那时候快100岁
了。Well, in 1 John, I think John at the time in Patmos, Island of Patmos, I think close to 100 years.
他在约翰一书第一章一到四节的时候，他就讲到这些经文。
In the 1 John chapter 1 to 4, talking about this kind of messages.
那我就不念了，但他的意思是说，我们所亲眼见过、亲眼看过、亲手摸过呢，这个是原有的生命之道呢，我现在传给你们。
The gist of message is that actually passing on to you the word of life, the way of life.
所以你看到在约翰一书里面造生命的分别呢，有两种人。
According to the first John, actually there are two kinds of people according to based on this the way of God, the way of the word.
一个是父老。
The senior,
一个是少年人
the youthful.
那这个父老呢，不见得是年纪大，但是他指的是在主里面信主有年日的。
The senior being senior doesn't mean that maybe old in age, but actually mature in Christ, has been in Christ in God for a longer time.
这少年人也不见得他就是血气方刚的 youth, 他也许是刚信主。
And the youthful in that first John.May refer to people.
但是教会里面这两种人都有，也都需要。
May refer to new Christians, and in God's family, we have these two kinds of people. We all need them.
约翰呢，在这里扮演的就是一个父老的角色。
And John, I think here acts as a senior, a mature Christian in Christ.
他可能排不动椅子了，他可能也拉不动餐桌了，他也没办法开车去接送人，但是他可以生命传递给别人。
He might be too weak to really pull the chairs and you know, to drive people around, but he can pass his life, the way of life to other people.
弟兄姐妹都知道那个投资专家叫巴菲特，对不对？
You all maybe know this person, the investor called Warren Buffett.
他有一个外号叫股神，可是我不喜欢人家外号里面有神这个字，所以我就不要用这个字。
I don't want to use a nickname because it involves some kind of God.
那这个巴菲特呢，他是一个投资专家，所以呢，他每年在网上呢，他会举办一次拍卖活动，拍卖什么呢？跟他吃一次中饭。
So Warren Buffett is a expert in investment, and every year he has an auction. The result of auction, the auction tickets is to have a lunch with him.
当然，他那个邀他吃饭得到的钱呢，是捐给慈善事业。那么跟他吃饭做什么呢？
Okay, this bidding for this auction is actually donated to charities. But what was this person going to do with Warren Buffett for the lunch?
他教你他怎么投资股票。
Well, he'll teach you during lunchtime how to make wise investment.
他故意把价钱拉得很高，为什么？
Why he tries to really raise up the price of the stock?
等一下我会讲。那这有一个报道呢，访问一个中国的富豪。他飙到了跟这个巴菲特吃饭，$25万吃一顿饭。
Okay, there's a Chinese rich man actually. He has won the bidding to have lunch with Warren Buffett. I think it's about 250,000.
后来吃完饭，一顿饭两三个钟头吃完了。这个记者问他说：“某某啊，跟他吃饭值不值这么多钱？”
So then after this two or three hours lunchtime, and then the reporter asked this person, is it worthwhile to spend a huge sum of money to lunch with him?
他说太值得了，$50万我都要去。
He says, oh, so worthwhile. Even $500,000, I would want to do that.
为什么？
Why is that?
他说他讲几句话呢，我就懂了。所以我花的$25万呢，我几天就可以赚回来。
Because I think he said Warren Buffett is really give him some kind of a advice, two or three sentences, and he understands, and maybe within minutes he can gain back the $250,000.
那我没有投资过股票，你叫我花$25跟他，我都不想吃饭。
I never made investment in stock, so I don't even want to spend $25 to lunch with him.
这不是说我看不起他，是因为说他讲的我也听不懂。
It's not that I look down upon him, just because I would fail to understand what he said.
So, 弟兄姊妹，这就是为什么他要把价钱拉高，真正的原因就在这里。这有意思的地方就在这里，因为有经历的人呢，你只要跟他讲几句，他就懂。
That's the reason why he make the bidding price so high, because the people who experience in that field will gain much from talking to him just a few sentences.
他在这个投资当中打滚了这么多年呢。他没有办法开通的事情，这个人知道，两句话他就懂。这$20万太值得。
So because even here he's rolling in investment for many years, maybe Warren Buffett's one sentence suggestion will really solve his problem. It's really worthwhile then.
这个巴菲特在传的是什么东西
？So what does this Warren Buffett teach here?
这就是生命经验的传递。
It is life experience given to the other person.
这是神的，我拿这个例子举给弟兄姐妹听呢，就是神的原则，说有的呢还要加多给他。
I give this example is to tell you that to those who have more will be added to him.
今天在教会当中的父老呢，你们要扮演这个角色。
So people in today's family household, we need to play this part.
因为对那个有追求的人呢。他很多时候只是卡在几个地方，你一点他就通了。
For the people who pursue, who sincerely pursue in this salvation way, just one two sentence will maybe open his heart or his mind.
所以这个东西呢，在教会当中是极其的重要的，因为世人不明白属灵道理的时候，他们是拿来用来赚钱的。
This is very important because the worldly people don't understand the spiritual teaching. They try to want to make money out of it.
但是有见识的人呢，他把生命传递出去，神的道理才话语才能够继续下去。
Because for the wise people who preach, who pass on this way of life, and the God's word can be truly transferred or can be truly understood by other people, by others.
所以在我们当中呢，信主年日比较轻的，我劝你们要谦卑。
So I exhort the people who have been long in Christ to be humble, to humble yourself.
去请教那些在主里面年日久的呢，他们怎么样在主里面过日子。
And to really seek advice from those people who are mature Christians, how they really live, abide in Christ.
千万不要以为看了几本解释圣经的书，能教几堂课，圣经你都懂。
Never assume that just by reading some books, spiritual books, interpretation books, that you wouldn't understand Bible.
因为这样你失去的太多。
Because by such assumption, you lose much more.
所以年轻人你要谦卑，来到父老面前。
So the youthful people, the people who are immature in Christ, humble yourself and seek help, advice from people who are mature.
老师教你的呢，谦卑的学习。
Humble yourself and learn from people.
将来神有一天呢，也就叫你站在那个位置上教导别人。
And God will one day assign you the post of being a steward and teaching other people.
我自己有几次机会呢，碰过一些真的是在对主非常有认识。弟兄姐妹，我可以讲，你就是几句话，他就你的那个中文叫做茅塞顿开，对不起，这句话很难翻啊，你就懂了。
Yes, I think I really came across this kind of experience that seek help, advice from the people who are mature in Christ. Just a few sentences, somehow all the confusion and puzzlement will be gone. But I'm suddenly enlightened to understand God's word.
弟兄姐妹，你们晓得我不是在夸口，好像说我得了什么。我的意思很简单，就是告诉弟兄姐妹，如果你打开圣经，老师觉得就也不过就是60卷书，翻来覆去读的都一样，你还没有经历到主。
I'm not boasting here, but if you will open your Bible and just think about 66 books and
you may not
experience God.
很多时候你的困难，你的难处，你真的就是需要在主里面的父老呢给你点一点。
And the difficulties you have, you might need some help or advice from the people who are mature in Christ.
好吧，我时间到了，我就不再交通了，我们一起低头祷告。
It's the end of our sharing. Let's pray together.
天父，我们感谢你，我们谢谢你在教会当中赐下百般恩赐的好管家。
And Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us the faithful and wise stewards in your family.
主，我们求你兴起更多的好管家在我们当中。
We pray that you raise even more stewards in among us.
照着所得的恩赐，尽力服侍你的教会。
Serving the body of Christ and your church according to the gifts that you give them.
在我们当中养成更多有忠心有见识的下一代。
I can nurture and raise up the second generation of faithful and wise servants.
我们求主的话常常这样子提醒我们。
May your word always edify us and encourage us.
祷告奉主耶稣基督的
名求。We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.